Play music now. Play us a tune on an unbroken spinet. Do not strike music from old broken keys. Do not make ghosts with faded tinklings on the yellowed board. But play us a tune on an unbroken spinet. Play lively music when the instrument was new. Let us see Mozart playing in the parlor. Let us hear the sounds of the ladies' voices. But more than that, throw the light of Wednesday morning on the Third Crusade. And let us see Athens on an average day. Let us hear the sound of the voices of the Greeks and observe closely if they were all wise and dutiful at 10 o'clock in the morning. Let us see if their limbs were all perfect and their gestures grave and stately. Also, let us smell their food and observe them eating. And hear, if only once, the sound of a wheel in a street, the texture of just 4 forgotten moments. Give us the sounds of Egypt on a certain day. Let us hear the voice of King Menkaure, also the voices of the cotton farmers. Let us hear the vast and casual sound of life in these old peoples, their greetings in the street, the voices of the housewives and the merchants. Play us a tune on an unbroken spinet, and let us hear the actual voices of old fairs. Let us move backward through our memories and through the memory of the race. Let us relive the million forgotten moments of our lives. Let us see the poor people sitting in their rooms in 1597. Let us see the rich man standing with his back before the fire in the Middle Ages. But there are times that are stranger yet. There are times that are stranger than the young knights and the horses and the sounds of the eating taverns. The far time is the time of yesterday. It is the time of early America. It is the voices of the people on Broadway in 1841. It is the sounds of the street in Des Moines in 1887. It is the engines of the early trains of Baltimore in 1853. It is the faces and voices of the early American people who are lapped up in the wilderness, who are hid from us, whose faces are in mystery. It is the time of the early lithographs. It is the time when the world was green and red and yellow. It is the time of the red barn and the windmill. It is the time of the green lawn and the blue sky and the white excursion steamer in the river and the flags, the streamers, the gay brown and white buntings, the brass bands of the tumult. It is the time of the lures and snares of the wicked city and of the great white way.
Aha, me proud beauty, I have ye in me power.
It is the time of pitfalls that await the innocent country gal with a whalebone collar and a small waist.
I kiss your dainty hand, madame.
It is the time of the gilded resorts with mirrors and soft carpets where the mechanical piano played and you bought champagne.
Hey, Mamie, bring me a quart of Paul Rojet 75.
The time of the opera and theater parties and the horse show and the late jolly suppers and the walnut dining room. The time of the 400 and the great names of the millionaires, the Vanderbilts, the Astors, and the Goulds.
I say, Perkins, will you buy me a railroad?
The time of the powdered flunkies and the $20 favors.
Just see this souvenir, Edgar, a genuine oriental antique ostrich fan.
It is the time of the canopied, red-carpeted sidewalks and the great mansions of Fifth Avenue and the plush marble halls and the time of the fortune-hunting nobleman.
Will you do me the great honor to become the Countess Cacciatore della Ciampa?
It is the time of the dude who wears English clothes and has cuffs on his trousers.
I say, old man, are we going to arrive on schedule?
And he never did anything in his life but spend his old man's money. He never did an honest lick of work in his life. He's not worth powder enough to kill him.
The son of a baron comes fooling around any sister of mine, I'll beat the everlasting tar out of him.
When the songs they sang were old and sweet. When the songs they sang were like beauties from afar. When people sitting on their porches in the dusk could hear the corner quartet singing Sweet Adeline. When the songs they sang were Daisy, Daisy, give me your answer true.
It won't be a stylish marriage. I can't afford a carriage. But you look sweet on the seat of a bicycle made for two.
America's names, its imperial names, the names of men and battles, the names of places and great rivers, the mighty names of the states, the names of Antietam, Chancellorsville,
Shiloh, Bull Run, Cold Harbor, Brandywine, Saratoga,
the names of places,
the Nantahala,
the Badlands,
the Painted Desert,
Yosemite,
the Little Big Horn,
the Cumberland Gap, the Continental Thunder of the States, the names of Montana, Texas, Arizona, Colorado,
Michigan, Maryland, Virginia,
the Dakotas, the names of Massachusetts and of rich Ohio, a powerful name of Pennsylvania, the name of old Kentucky, the undulate Alabama,
Nevada,
Utah,
Minnesota,
Illinois. In the oak thickets at the break of day, the hunters lay for bear. The rattle of arrows in the laurel leaves, the war cries around the painted buttes, and the majestical names of the Indian nations.
Pawnee,
Algonquin,
Iroquois,
Comanche,
Seminoles,
Cherokee,
Sioux,
Chickasaws,
Arapahos,
Catawbas,
Omahas,
Tuscaroras,
and the names of Powhatan and Sitting Bull,
and the name of the great chief, Rain in the Face. The arrows rattle in the laurel leaves, and the elm roots thread the bones of buried lovers. There have been war cries on the western trails, and on the plains, the gunstock rusts upon a handful of bleached bones. The rails go westward in the dark. Brother, have you seen starlight on the rails? Have you heard the thunder of the fast express? The names of the mighty rails that bind the nation. The wheeled thunder of the names that left the continent. The Pennsylvania. The Union Pacific. The Santa Fe.
Baltimore and Ohio.
Chicago and Northwestern.
Louisiana and North.
Seaboard Airlines.
Chicago, Milwaukee and St. Paul.
Lackawanna.
New York, New Haven and Hart.
Denver and Rio Grande. What are the names of the engines, the engineers and the sleeping cars? The great engines of the Pacific type. The 400-ton Thunderbolts. The consolidated type hauling the heavy freights. The 22-wheeler of the Southern Pacific. The streamliners with the proud names. The Rebel, down in the Gulf. The Hiawatha. The Zephyr. The City of Portland. The Comet. The Chief. The 20th Century Limited. By the waters of life, Lord Tennyson stood among the rocks and stared. He had long hair, his eyes were deep and somber, and he wore a cape. He was a poet. And by the waters of life, Lord Tennyson stood among the cold, gray rocks and commanded the sea to break, break, break. And the sea broke as Lord Tennyson commanded it to do. And his heart was sad and lonely as he watched the stately ships of the Hamburg American Packet Company, fares $45 and up first class, go on their haven under the hill. And Lord Tennyson would that his heart could utter the thoughts that arose in him. By the waters of life, the names of the mighty rivers, the alluvial gluts, the drains of the continent, the throats that drink America, the names of the great rivers that are flowing in the darkness, the great mouths, the mighty moors, the vast, wet, coiling, never-glutted snakes that drink the continent. Where, sons of men, and in what other land will you find others like them? And where can you match the mighty music of their names? The Monongahela, the Colorado, the Rio Grande, the Columbia, the Tennessee, the Hudson,
the Kennebec,
the Rappahannock,
the Delaware,
the Penobscot. The terrible names of the rivers in flood, the rivers that foam and welter in the dark, that smash the levees, that flood the lowlands for 2,000 miles and carry the bones of the cities seaward in their tides. The awful names of the Tennessee, the Arkansas, the Missouri, the Mississippi. And even the little mountain rivers in the season of the floods.
The Chesapeake.
The Swannanoa.
Niagara.
The St. Lawrence.
The Tombigbee.
Chattahoochee.
The Arizona.
The Potomac. These are a few of their great, proud, glittering names fit for the immense and lonely land that they inhabit. I know that America and the people in it are deathless, undiscovered, and immortal, and must live. I think the true discovery of America is before us. I think the true fulfillment of our spirit, of our people, of our mighty and immortal land is yet to come. I think the true discovery of our own democracy is still before us. And I think that all these things are certain as the morning, inevitable as noon. I think I speak for most men living when I say that our America is here, is now, and beckons on before us. And that this glorious assurance is not only our living hope, but our dream to be accomplished. I think the enemy is here before us, too. But I think we know the forms and faces of the enemy. And in the knowledge that we know him and shall meet him and eventually must conquer him is also our living hope.
You have been listening to Charles Lawton in Norman Corwin's adaptation and production of Thomas Wolfe, the second of an American trilogy, based on the works of three great modern writers. At this same time next week, Columbia will bring you the third program of an American trilogy, Corwin's adaptation of the poetry of Walt Whitman. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
I, Walt Whitman, heard that you asked for something to prove this puzzle, the new world, and to define America, her athletic democracy. Therefore, I send you my poems, that you behold in them what you wanted.
From Hollywood, Norman Corwin brings you the 16th of his current series of broadcasts and the last of three special programs, starring Charles Lawton in adaptations of the works of three American writers, Sandburg, Wolfe, and Whitman. Tonight, Charles Lawton in Walt Whitman.
This is Norman Corwin. Since the death of Walt Whitman nearly 50 years ago, he has come to be recognized as one of the great poets of all time. But too seldom do we think of him as prophet and patriot as well. He was very much all three. And in this connection, I hope you will listen tonight with a special ear to his poems on war, democracy, and the future. I have adapted these poems with as little invention as possible, taking dramatic license only to the extent of interrupting with a few of the questions which certainly were asked of Whitman in his time. Every word to be spoken by Mr. Lawton, however, comes directly from the pages of Walt Whitman.
You, whoever you are, you daughter or son of England, you of the mighty Slavic tribe, you dim descended black, divine souled African, you Norwegian, Swede, Dane, Icelander, you Roman, Neapolitan, you Greek, you Chinaman of China, you foot-worn pilgrim welcoming the faraway sparkle of the minarets of Mecca, all you continentals of Asia, Africa, Europe, Australia, indifferent of place, all you on the numberless islands of the archipelagos of the sea, and you of centuries hence, when you listen to me, and you each and everywhere whom I specify not, but include just the same, health to you, good will to you all, from me and America sent. I tramp a perpetual journey. Come listen, all. My signs are a rainproof coat, good shoes, and a staff cut from the woods. No friend of mine takes his ease in my chair. I have no chair. I lead no man to a dinner table, library, exchange, but each man and each woman of you I lead upon a knoll, my left hand hooking you around the waist, my right hand pointing to landscapes of continents and the public road. This America is only you and me. Its power, weapons, testimony are you and me. The officers, capitals, armies, ships, are you and me. The war is you and me. Past, present, future are you and me. I swear I begin to see the meaning of things. I swear nothing is good to me now that ignores individuals. The American compact is altogether with individuals. The whole theory of the universe is directed unerringly to one single individual, namely to you. The sum of all known reverence I add up in you, whoever you are. The president is there in the White House for you. It is not you who are here for him. The Congress convenes every 12 months for you. Laws, courts, the going and coming of commerce and mails are all for you. Sculptures and monuments and anything inscribed anywhere are tallied in you. All architecture is what you do to it when you look upon it. All music is what awakes from you when you are reminded by the instrument. Listen, when the psalm sings instead of the singer, when the script preaches instead of the preacher, when I can touch the body of books by night or by day, and when they touch my body back again, when a university course convinces, like a slumbering woman and child convince, when the minted gold in the vault smiles, like the night watchman's daughter, when warranty deeds loaf in chairs opposite and are my friendly companions, then I intend to reach them by hand and make as much of them as I do of men and women like you.
May I speak to you for a moment?
Stranger, if you passing meet me and desire to speak to me, why should you not speak to me? And why should I not speak to you?
Seems to me you're pretty sure of yourself.
I know perfectly well my own egotism, know my omnivorous lines, and must not write any less. And would fetch you, whoever you are, flush with myself. I am Walt Whitman. I exist as I am. That is enough.
You like the sound of your own name, don't you?
What am I, after all, but a child, pleased with the sound of my own name, repeating it over and over? I stand apart to hear. It never tires me. To you, your name also. Did you think there was nothing but two or three pronunciations in the sound of your name?
Just who do you think you are, anyway?
Walt Whitman. A cosmos. Of Manhattan, the sun. Turbulent. Fleshy. Sensual. Eating, drinking, and breathing. No sentimentalist. No stander above men or women or apart from them. No more modest than immodest. No dainty, dolce, affettuoso, I, bearded, sunburnt, gray-necked, forbidding. I have arrived to be wrestled with as I pass for the solid prizes of the universe. I wear my hat as I please, indoors or out. I give the sign of democracy. By God! I will accept nothing which all cannot have their counterpart of on the same terms.
And what good do you suppose sharing everything is going to do to you?
As if it harmed me giving others the same rights and chance as myself. As if it were not indispensable to my own rights that others possess the same.
Hold on a second. Hold on. What are you trying to say?
One self, I sing. A simple, separate person, yet utter the word democratic, a word en masse, of life, immense in passion, pulse, and power, the modern man, I sing. Behold, I do not give lectures or a little charity. When I give myself. I do not ask who you are, that is not important to me. You can do nothing and be nothing but what I will enfold you. To cotton field drudge or cleaner of privies, I lean. On his right cheek I put the family kiss, and in my soul I swear I never will deny him. Oh, despairer, here is my neck. By God, you shall not go down. Hang your whole weight upon me. I dilate you with tremendous breath. I buoy you up. Every room of the house do I fill with an armed force.
Look, I don't follow you. You're over my head. Anyway, why don't you calm down? There's nothing to get excited about. Take it easy.
Did you ask dulcet rhymes from me? Did you seek the civilians' peaceful and languishing rhymes? Did you find what I sang so hard to follow? For I was not singing for you to follow, to understand. Nor am I now. What to such as you, anyhow? Such a poet as I. Therefore, leave my works and go lull yourself with what you can understand and with piano tunes. For I lull nobody, and you will never understand me. I celebrate myself and sing myself. And what I assume, you shall assume. For every atom belonging to me, as good belongs to you. I loaf and invite my soul. I lean and loaf at my ease, observing a spear of grass. Once a child said, fetching the grass to me with full hands,
"What is the grass?"
How could I answer the child? I do not know what it is any more than she. I guess it must be the flag of my disposition, out of hopeful green stuff woven. Or I guess it is the handkerchief of the Lord, a scented gift and remembrance, a designedly dropped, bearing the owner's name somewhere in the corners that we may see and remark and say, "Whose?" Or I guess the grass is the beautiful, uncut hair of graves. Tenderly will I use you, curling grass. It may be you transpire from the breasts of young men. It may be you are from old people. This grass is very dark to be from the white heads of old mothers. Dark to come from under the faint red roofs of mouths. I wish I could translate the hints about the dead young men and women and the hints about old men and mothers and the offspring taken soon out of their laps. What do you think has become of the young and old men? And what do you think has become of the women and children? They are alive and well somewhere. The smallest sprout shows there is really no death. And if ever there was, it led forward life. All goes onward and outward. Nothing collapses. And to die is different from what anyone supposed. And luckier.
Tell me more about the grass.
I believe a leaf of grass is no less than the journey work of the stars. And the pismire is equally perfect, and a grain of sand, and the egg of the wren, and the running blackberry would adorn the parlors of heaven, and the narrowest hinge in my hand puts to scorn all machinery, and the cow crunching with depressed head surpasses any statue. And a mouse is miracle enough to stagger sextillions of infidels.
Are there a lot of miracles?
As to me, I know of nothing else but miracles. Whether I walk the streets of Manhattan or wade with naked feet along the beach just in the edge of the water, or stand under trees in the woods, or talk by day with anyone I love, or sleep in the bed at night with anyone I love, or sit at table at dinner with the rest, or look at strangers opposite me riding in the car, or watch honey bees busy around the hive of a summer forenoon, or animals feeding in the fields, or birds, or the wonderfulness of insects in the air, or the wonderfulness of the sundown, or of stars shining so quiet and bright. What stranger miracles are there? of life. Immense in passion, pulse, and power I sing, but I too sing war. I too am come chanting the chant of battle. This year, sending itself ahead countless years to come, armed year, year of the struggle, no dainty rhymes or sentimental love verses for you, terrible year. Not you, as some pale poetling seated at a desk lisping cadenzas piano, but as a strong man, erect, advancing, carrying a rifle on your shoulder. I know that the past was great and the future will be great. And I know that both curiously conjoint in the present time, for the sake of him I typify, for the common average man's sake, if you are he. I will acknowledge contemporary lands. I will trail the whole geography of the globe and salute courteously every city, large and small. I will put in my poems heroism upon land and sea, and I will report all heroism from an American point of view.
Distinguished service stars today were conferred upon the following men.
Brave, brave were the soldiers, high named today, who lived throughout the fight. But the bravest pressed to the front and fell, unnamed, unknown.
Washington confirmed the execution by Japanese authorities of American prisoners. Berlin admits Nazi mobs have lynched at least 5 American flyers.
The corpses lie in new-made graves, bloody corpses of young men. The rope of the gibbet hangs heavily. The bullets of princes fly. The creatures of power laugh aloud. Those corpses of young men. Those martyrs that hang from the gibbets. Those hearts pierced by the gray lead, cold and motionless. They live in other young men, O kings. They live in brothers again ready to defy you. They were purified by death. They were exalted. Not a grave of the murdered for freedom, but grows seed for freedom, and it's turned to bear seed, which the winds carry afar and resow, and the rains and the snows nourish. Not a disembodied spirit can the weapons of tyrants let loose, but it stalks invisibly over the earth, whispering, counseling, cautioning.
A major counterattack impends in the area south of Cherbourg.
The soldier camped or upon the march is mine. On the night before the pending battle, many seek me, and I do not fail them. On this solemn night, it may be their last. Those that know me, seek me.
Resistance of the French underground in support of the Allied invaders is increasing hourly.
O star of France, the brightness of your hope and strength and fame, like some proud ship that led the fleet so long, seems today a wreck driven by the gale, a mastless hulk, and mid its teeming, maddened, half-drowned crowds, nor helm, nor helmsman. Dim, smitten star, star crucified by traitors sold, star panting o'er a land of death, heroic land, miserable. Errors, vanities, sins, I will not now rebuke you. Your unexampled woes and pangs have quelled them all and left you sacred. O ship of France, beat back and baffled long, bear up, continue on. Sure as the ship of all, the earth itself, onward beneath the sun, following its course, so you, O ship of France, finished the days, the clouds dispelled, the travail o'er, the long-sought extrication, reborn high o'er the European world, again your star, O France, fair lustrous star, in heavenly peace, clearer, more bright than ever, shall beam immortal.
Combined Allied Naval Forces are planning extensive campaigns in both the Atlantic and Pacific theaters.
Of ships sailing the seas, of unnamed heroes in the ships, of waves spreading and spreading as far as the eye can reach, of dashing spray and the winds piping and blowing, and out of these, a chant for the sailors of all nations. Flaunt out, O seas, your separate flags of nations. Flaunt out the various ship signals, but reserve especially for yourself and for the soul of man one flag above all the rest, a spiritual woven signal for all nations, emblem of man elate above death, token of all brave captains and all intrepid sailors and mates, and all that went down doing their duty, reminiscent of them, a pennant universal, subtly waving all time, o'er all brave sailors, all seas, all ships. I am for those who walk abreast with the whole earth. I see the male and female everywhere. I see the serene brotherhood of philosophes. I see the results of perseverance and industry. I see ranks, colors, civilizations. I go among them. I mix indiscriminately. And I salute all the inhabitants of the earth, each of us inevitable. Each of us limitless, each of us with his or her right upon the earth, each of us here as divinely as any is here. That is what I have learnt from America. Listener out there, I stay only a minute longer. The past and present wilt. I have filled them, emptied them, and proceed to fill my next fold of the future. Poets to come, orators, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future. I but advance a moment. only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you. I see not America only, but not only Liberty's nation, but other nations preparing. I see tremendous entrances and exits, new combinations, the solidarity of races. I see that force advancing with irresistible power on the world stage. I see freedom completely armed and victorious and very haughty, with law on one side and peace on the other, a stupendous trio, all issuing forth against the idea of caste. What historic denouements are these we so rapidly approach? I see men marching and countermarching by swift millions. I see the frontiers and boundaries of the old aristocracies broken. I see the landmarks of European kings removed. Never were such sharp questions asked of this day. Never was average man, his soul more energetic, more like a god. His daring foot is on land and sea everywhere. He colonizes the Pacific, the archipelagos, with the steamship, the electric telegraph, the newspaper, the wholesale engines of war. With these and the world-spreading factories, he interlinks all geography, all lands. What whispers are these, O lands, running ahead of you, passing under the seas? Are all nations communing? Is there going to be but one heart to the globe? Is humanity forming en masse? For lo, tyrants tremble, crowns grow dim. The earth, restive, confronts a new era.
You have been listening to Charles Laughton and Norman Corwin's production of Walt Whitman, Last of an American Trilogy, and 16th of Mr. Corwin's current series for CBS. Except for minor interpolations, this script was derived entirely from Leaves of Grass. The musical score was composed and conducted by Bernard Herrmann.
This is Charles Laughton, and I've come back to say a few words not written by Walt Whitman, but nevertheless having to do with the making of the kind of world he envisioned. For if freedom is to be, as he put it, completely armed and victorious, we must support our fighting men. We must back the attack on every front, and the best way to do that is to buy bonds.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.